Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour back on the air. Glad you're with us around the Super Talk Network, online, wherever you tune in. We're just glad you're here. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio here in Oak Grove. Opening segment sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Great supporters of our show. Great supporters of the Southern Miss Athletic Department. Sister restaurant to Fuzzy's Tacos. And happy to say that's where we'll be broadcasting live tomorrow with our good friends down at Fuzzy's. Got a great show for you today. We're going to be hearing from Matthew Adams and Ben Higdon later in the show, and we're very happy to have Sean Jones in the studio with us, Senior Deputy Athletic Director and Chief Operating Officer for Southern Miss Athletics. And Sean, welcome to the studio. I don't really know why you haven't been here before. I'm going to take the blame for that, but I'm just glad that you're here today.
Bob, thanks for having me, Kelly. Great to see you as well, and looking forward to the chat over the next hour or so.
Oh, radio guy, too, I hear.
Yeah, that's exactly
I don't
right.
mean old. I just mean former radio guy.
Well, I've got the face made for radio still. So,
well, I know
yeah,
exactly
started out in radio, loved it, and still have a passion for it, and appreciate listening to great play-by-play and great sports mm-hmm. talk. So I've always enjoyed listening to you guys and excited to be on with you here this afternoon.
We know about the face for radio. This is where all the old WDAM sports directors go to die. Me, Kelly, and Mitchell Williams are all here now. So,
well, I'm in good company then. Good exactly. company with that group for sure.
Sean, you came here from Henderson State January of last year. You have many, many hats. One is the facilities and operations at the university. So let's just get right into the conversation. And obviously, when I hear facilities, I think about the basketball arena and the renovation. It was exciting news the day you and Jeremy broke that. But where are we right now, Sean? And when will people start really seeing physical changes?
It's a good question. You know, I know people are anxious to see it. I know there have been times in the past, it's my understanding, where there was talk of it and then it maybe didn't happen for a variety of reasons. What I would tell folks is it is in progress. It is going to happen. It's different when you're trying to stay in a facility over a 2-year phase of construction. You know, if we could move out of the building and move into another facility here in Hattiesburg and practice and play and have commencements, you can move at a little bit different speed. But, you know, there's so many things behind the walls that have to remain intact when you're going through construction to be able to use the facility, not only from, you know, having electricity, having heat and air, but from a health and safety perspective for those that attend the events and those who use the facility every day. So, you know, phase one was getting our contractor of record in place, who will then go out and work with all the subs, and we have that now. And so value engineering has been a piece of it, but putting every single detail to paper to match up with the finances that are available for the project. So that is all taking place. There have been some tweaks here or there because, like always in these projects, there are a few things here and there that have to be removed when you get to that point. Nothing alarming. I would tell folks we're going to have a great facility. We're going to have a practice facility. We're going to have that incredible entrance off of 4th Street that is really going to bring a wow factor to the building. There may be some places where we don't, you know, put in a certain type of seating or a certain type of board or whatever the case may be. So trying to cut down, and I mean every finite detail, guys, we're talking about, you know, how many sinks are in each restroom and what's code, but how many do you need? What's good from, you know, from a fan perspective and amenities, but what's too much? So we're going through all of that right now. hope to have some level of construction going on the south end of the building and seeing some construction fence this summer. And then at that point, it begins in earnest. You know, we've already done a lot of the roof work. I think people saw that is going on. There was a lot of work that needed to be done there. So a lot of that's taking place, but we're still on a schedule. It's a little bit later than we wanted to start, but you know, as far as the concern or speculation, we're in good shape. We're moving forward. We're excited about it. And once it gets started, things start to, you know, move in earnest.
So it's just not it's not as easy as it might
seem. Yeah, I think that's perfectly said, Bob. It's just one of those things that the devil's in the details, and there's a lot of details on a project of this size and scope, particularly when the venue is staying open, and that's really the biggest piece.
But there is a psychological movement with fans when they see dirt being moved.
You are exactly right, and I will speak for my boss on this particular one. The last meeting we were in, that's exactly what he said. He said, we get some dirt moving here, guys. And it, not that anybody was stalling, not that anybody was doing anything but their very best to deliver the very best product for Reed Green for the next 50 years. But he made that point very clear.
How important, John, do you think that is to becoming competitive in basketball?
I think it's very important, Bob. I think that as I've had the chance to go around the Sun Belt and look at facilities, you know, we already have something that most folks at our level don't, and that's a rabid and loyal fan base that will fill that place if the product is good. Mm-hmm. So if you've got that, then we modernize our building to bring it up to speed with what these recruits are seeing when they go other places, particularly the practice venue. You know, for Coach Ladner and previously, of course, Coach McNellis and now Coach Bilderback, not having a practice facility at the FBS Division I levels, you know, fairly unheard of. So we're going to add that, and that's going to bring a great value to the building, the ability to get up shots, you know, practice, but also in the recruiting piece. And then just some of the modern nuances that I know our fan base is excited about when it comes to simple things, right? Like concourses and restrooms and those things. Just making it a place you can be proud of, because the people make that building great. You know, I've noticed that since my first game was James Madison was nationally ranked in early January of 2014, and we beat them, and the crowd was a major factor in that game. And I thought, man, we've got the hardest part licked here, because we have a tremendous fan base. Now we just got to get this building to match that, and we can take off. And I think that's the case.
You just don't understand when you look at somebody like Georgia Southern, who announced a $113 million new basketball, all kinds of facilities, and you're going, where is everybody getting all this money just like that?
Well, it's a good question. You know, I think in one case it depends at each institution what their university, their state systems allow them to do in terms of athletics and auxiliary facilities. You know, there are some states where you can use state money, so to speak, for athletic facilities. There are more that you cannot, but certainly some of the states that we compete against in our league have that ability. And then bond capacity is another part. I mean, what each institution has from a bonding perspective, and how much they're willing to go out there on that limb in this day and age in higher education is another piece of it. And then donor support certainly is a factor as well. But, you know, we have the donor support. We have folks who are willing to give whatever they can of their resources to support Southern Miss. It just comes down to, I think, more often than not, what your institution, what your state allows you to do when it comes to athletic facilities.
Fair to say that Coach Ladner's been at a disadvantage in a lot of ways in competing in the Sun Belt because of facilities.
You know, I think that there are, in any job, advantages and disadvantages. As I mentioned at Southern Miss, I think the fan base, the community, and Jay would tell you this. Jay and I talk about this all the time. You know, it's second to none, and that's an advantage. But, you know, from a facility perspective, we've gotten a little antiquated and gotten behind, and that does matter, especially when you're turning over rosters year after year, and that's the world we live in now. And so when these folks come to your campus, you know, where am I going to live? What am I going to get in NIL? What am I going to practice in so that I can create the most value for myself? It's not the business that we grew up in intercollegiate athletics, but it is the business of today. So, yeah, I think that it will help our coaches and certainly set us on a path to modernizing our program and hopefully helping in that way as well.
And while we're talking about facilities, Sean, I want to talk about The Rock, because with TV contracts now, it's college football is not what it was 20 years ago when the only way you were going to see the game was to pay the $20 to get in. Now people can sit at home. Bottom line is crowds pretty much other than the big four conferences, crowds are down because of that sort of thing. Has there ever been discussion of downsizing the Rock, therefore making tickets more of a premium?
No discussion on downsizing, and I think we'll see you know, the size of the Rock help us out this coming football season with Mississippi State and Jackson State. The first two games, and with Coach Huff being here, I anticipate we'll sell out both of those games.
Absolutely.
So we'll
too,
have
right?
a well, and we've got what, four games in the first 5-6 weeks of the season at home, but certainly having those two games, I think we'll see it full. I get your point. Yeah, we have given so much access to fans, not Southern Miss, but just industry wide with webcasts and live stats and all the different ways that you can consume a game. But there's still two things that bring people out. And it's really simple. You can do all the studies you want, but it's winning and it's weather. If you get good winning and you get good weather, folks are going to come. And I think with Coach Huff, we are well on our way to taking care of that first part. And none of us that live in South Mississippi are afraid of a little warm weather, maybe to our advantage. So hopefully that'll bring a lot of people out to the Rock and answer that question for us this coming season.
Senior Deputy Athletics Director Sean Jones with us. Happy to say he's going to stay with us a while today. Later in the show, we're going to hear from Matthew Adams, and I want you to comment on that. But we're going to change the plan here a little bit. There's more to ask you about, so I want to bring you back for a full segment, and then we'll do the baseball segment with Matt Adams and continue our conversation with Senior Deputy Athletics Director Sean Jones on the Super Talk Eagle Hour.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans, TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back. Second segment of the show sponsored by Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street, campusbookmart.net. Don't forget about Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Genesis sedans and SUVs are the finest vehicles on the road. You can visit their all-new Genesis showroom, Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. And want to say hello to our good friends out at MCS Home Center, Bellevue, Mississippi, new state-of-the-art home improvement facility owned by Hank Lott. I'll bet our guest here, Sean Jones, knows Hank Lott, and he's a great guy, isn't he?
One of my favorite people since arriving in Hattiesburg.
Really one of the nicest men I think I have ever met in my life.
I love that family.
Yeah, and really the person who runs the football program, not Charles Huff, it's Stone Lott.
Well, we didn't have a whole lot of demands for Coach Huff. And I sort of say this tongue-in-cheek, but really I don't. And one of them is, hey, you need to meet Stone, because he's such a critical part of our program. Yeah. The love and energy he brings every day to the football field for our guys is immeasurable value. And he teaches lessons to our guys every single day.
And that, of course, is Hank's son.
Yeah. So we didn't have a lot of demands. That was one. And once he met Stone, he's like, oh, that's my guy. Let's go.
Oh, yeah.
That's good to hear. I'm glad to hear that. Sean, we're glad to have you out here. And Kelly and I take a little heat on this show. But we take a lot of heat about a lot of things. But one of the things is that we sometimes get to complaining a little bit. You know, we're a little older in life, and we remember college athletics when it was pure, and it was, I love my university, and I'm going to go play 4 years for, you know, for Arkansas State or Southern Miss or whomever, and I'm going there, and I'm a student. We heard that term so many years, student athlete. It's changed, hasn't it?
It sure has. You know, I knew this thing was over its skis, and you guys probably did too, when we started paying coaches $10 million a year
to
coach college athletes.
Totally agree with
and
you.
That's when all of us, I think, objectively went, we got to do something for these young men and young women if we're paying coaches $10 million a year.
Wasn't that the genesis of all this?
Yeah, it was. No question. That's where the talk started. It started to heat up as the money got so great for those that were working in the business, but not those that were doing the business, you know, the student athletes. And so I've always been a believer that they deserve something. I don't think that any student athlete who's competing and representing a Division I university should have to worry about eating a meal or paying an electric bill. I really don't, because they're generating revenue and positive publicity and putting their bodies on the line for the university. But just like we did with paying coaches years ago, we jumped the shark on how we're paying student athletes because there are no guardrails around it. So we're playing catch up. We're chasing the money. That's the reality of it. And I know we're eagerly awaiting, I suppose, the House settlement so that we finally have something in concrete to know how we can frame this thing up and move forward.
And talking to Dr. Ulrich from Boise State earlier on this program, who's done extensive mm-hmm. research on that pending decision, he made the point that he didn't think that if it came down as it is, that collectives are necessarily going to be yes. necessary. So what's your read on this at this
it's
point?
It's a really good question, Kelly. I think it just depends on where your collective was when you started. For example, Jeremy McLean was way out in front of this, as he usually is. As you guys know, Jeremy is a outstanding AD and a great thinker and really processes things and is able to look ahead. And
he's proactive rather than reactive.
Correct. He's proactive. Yeah. And so he went to work with Peter Boehm and they created the To the Top Collective. And then Pete was able to grow that into a situation where that became his vocation. And so there's a lot of places where the collectives never got that far and they were run by volunteers who didn't really want to do it. And so unraveling that's fairly easy. Yeah, just move it in-house. When we get to rev share, we do it all in-house and we go. Well, because of Jeremy's leadership, because of Pete's work, because of the support of our fan base, you know, our collective is stronger than most. So we won't just stop our collective. And Jeremy and I meet with Pete every single week. Those meetings are usually scheduled for an hour. They usually last about 2.5. And we could probably go all day just talking through every nuanced piece of this, including how we're going to move forward. There's still a little bit of guesswork in it because we don't exactly know what Judge Wilkins is going to say and how it's going to go. But there will be some level of collective work that we will still continue because the collectives are the place where even after the House settlement that our student athletes are going to receive funds the way they were originally supposed to, if you follow that. This whole NIL thing was supposed to be about, hey, if you have value, if you've created value on the field or court and you can go to a local business and you can advertise for them or you can, you know, work there and rep them, whatever, then you'll get paid for that, for your likeness, because you have created that value. And well, we just sidestepped that and it moved into, you know, paying players through collectives. Well, now with NIL, there will be a clearinghouse. Deloitte is the clearinghouse that the Power Four has agreed upon for all of us in Division One that will say that's fair or not fair. In other words, Bob Getty can't bring one of our players out here to Super Talk to do a show and pay him $1 million. They'll say, wait a minute, what would somebody who normally hosts a talk show on Super Talk get paid? That's the value.
Not a million.
It's not a million. I know that. I once was in radio. I was once a poor man in radio, so I understand that. But you get the point. So there will still be an opportunity for student athletes through the collective. There will still be things like memberships that, you know, value adds to folks who support the collective. We can still use funds from the collective. You just don't have to have a collective anymore once we go to RevShare. But that doesn't mean we won't have one and maybe reshape it, tweak some things. And just like, I hate to say it, a year ago, 2 years ago, when you guys were sitting out here going, what is this collective? What does that mean? It may look different 6 months from now, but it will be, I think, of some value to us based on how strong it was out of the gate.
In the end, how is this brought under control?
Great question. This is an unsustainable business model, not just for Southern Miss, but for everybody in our industry. Texas it was announced yesterday, is going to spend $40 million on their football roster. $40 million. Now, the reason they're spending $40 million is because beginning after the House settlement, they'll only be able to spend $20.5 million because that's the cap.
Correct.
So what they're doing is they're going to quarterback Bob and saying, we're going to give you $3 million this year because we'll only be able to give you $1 million next year. But we're really paying you in advance. By the way, you're not an employee. By the way, there's no, you know, there. So, and by the way, you can leave after the season if you want, or before the season if you want, with the two windows. So, this is unsustainable. The industry needs some assistance with some guardrails. Whether that means that student athletes become employees in revenue sports, and we collectively bargain, and other sports aren't faced up against that same standard where, you know, Title IX still rules from a, you know, a fairness perspective, but over here where these athletes are quote unquote professional, it's different. Now, I will tell folks out there listening, you know, the great thing about Southern Miss is we're at the big time level, but you know, we still have that. You can know everybody, you know the athletes, you can be a part of it, you can make a difference. We're not making any student athletes millionaires at Southern Miss. I hope everybody knows that.
And Dr. Ulrich at Boise State said the other day he was the perfect example of Quinn Ewers, the quarterback at Texas, gets drafted by the Miami Dolphins and will have to take a huge pay cut.
Yeah. Yeah.
To play in the NFL.
Right. So Bob, like, we've got a lot of guys, you know, that are not at a salary level, you know, that are getting rev share money. Now, it's like anything else, you know, if you go into a locker room, you know, and you ask players, what are you making? You know, they're kids. They may say, I'm getting 50, or I'm getting 70, or I'm getting 80. Well, they might be getting 15. They might be getting 10. They might be getting 20. And, you know, those are numbers. If you're in a sport that fills a stadium, is on television, to me, those are fair numbers. I mean, those are numbers that those folks can pay their bills, can represent the university, can go out and get a pizza, those sorts of things. We're operating more in that arena here at Southern Miss. And so with that being said, you've got to be able to figure out how to plan for this, because right now you can't. Right now you're chasing the money. You know, right now, in what other part of this business do you have a situation, and this is across the entire landscape of Division I, particularly in football, men's basketball, where you go out and you get a roster, you procure a roster, you negotiate with these young folks on the price for NIL right now, and then you go get the money. That's not a good way to live, right?
Right.
I mean, you'd like to have money in your bank account before you put it on the credit card. So.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So we got to get some guardrails in place as an industry.
When you hear about a kid making what the kid in Texas made, clarify this. Do they get that and their tuition paid, or does the cost of their tuition come out of that NIL money?
Well, there's some creative things you can do there too. I think in most cases they probably do get their tuition paid and they get that money. But, you know, if you run out of scholarship availability, right now, that's why you're seeing roster limits. That's why that's such an important piece of this. Because if you remember back to the old days, Bear Bryant would just sign as many people as
Correct.
He could sign, and he'd say, he ain't going to play for me, but he ain't going to play against me. Well, that's happening right now, too. So that's the reason for the roster limits, is so you can't do that. So, you know, right now you could say, I'm not going to give you a scholarship, but this is at the Power 4 level, probably about 20, 30 schools. You could say, I'm not going to give you a scholarship, but I'm going to give you $600,000. You can pay for your own scholarship. So,
I got you.
Yeah, so some of that does happen, but not at Southern Miss.
Okay. How would you like to talk about baseball?
Let's do it.
When we come
Let's
back.
Do
we'll
it.
Be back. More with Sean Jones coming up. Don't forget about our podcast. Thousands of you do every month. We really do appreciate it. The numbers kind of surprise us, but we're grateful. Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or you can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour.
Southern Miss to the top.
All right, don't forget about Mobe Beignet Company this weekend. It'll be a great weekend to go enjoy some delicious beignets and a great coffee, 2902 Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. And swing by 4th Street Bar and Grill. We love those guys right there in the shadow of the rock. Great lunch 5 days a week, great suppers, and always a Southern Miss game on the TVs. 4th Street Bar and Grill, and now live music, I think, every Friday and Saturday night. We continue our conversation with Senior Deputy Athletics Director Sean Jones, who confessed to me in my office that, like all of us, he has fallen in love with the Southern Miss baseball program, and it's an easy thing to do. Sean, I want to play. I was visiting with some of the kids yesterday afternoon. I want to play a little bit of this interview I did with Matt Adams, and then I'd like for you to comment, if you will, please. All right, Matt Adams on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Matt, it's been a long journey, hasn't it?
Yes, sir. It's been a while.
Talk about Coach Oz told us Monday that he had never seen a pitcher respond or come back better from the type of injury you had than you have. Talk a little bit about what the injury was, what the rehab was like, and how it feels to be back in command of your game.
Yeah, so in April of 2023, I tore my labrum pitching against ODU in Norfolk. And we diagnosed it about a week later, and we decided that doctor said I could pitch through it if I wanted to. Didn't have to get surgery yet, and it wouldn't change the recovery time or anything. So I went ahead and got a steroid shot and finished out the year. And then that July of that summer, I got the surgery, and just a lot of range of motion, a lot of just getting all that back, a lot of strengthening and all that stuff, making sure everything's good. So it took about a year and a half to get back to normal, but did a lot of praying, did a lot of talking with God, and I think that helped a lot too, just my faith and trusting that and trusting his plan. And I like where I'm at now and enjoying this last season with the Golden Eagles.
Well, it sure takes a lot of determination to go through that. At any point, did you ever think, I'm done?
I'd be lying if I said I didn't have some doubts through the whole process. There's, especially the very beginning when you can't really move your shoulder like you want to, it's very, very, what's the word I'm looking for? Discouraging. Yeah. Discouraging, thinking about, am I able to pitch again? Because that's what I've done my whole life. And so there were definitely moments of that. But like I said, my faith really helped a lot with that stuff. So,
well, every outing you've seemed to get better, and now you do seem to be hitting your stride. Could you sense that as the year went on, that every opportunity you got, that you felt a little better, a little stronger perhaps?
Yeah, Coach Oz kind of mentioned to me before the season even started, he said earlier in the fall that I wouldn't feel my best until later in the season, until, like, I just needed more time. The shoulder surgery and the whole rehab process takes a lot longer than people think, and kind of like you said, kind of hitting my stride, kind of getting into the groove, if you will. I think that's 100% true. I feel the best I felt. I feel strong, and I'm just ready to keep going.
What has Christian Ostrander meant to you?
I mean, he's like a father figure to me. Just always say Hattiesburg's my second home, and he's kind of like the father figure over here, and he's really tapped into the mental side of pitching and what that looks like, and I mean, I couldn't be more appreciative to have him as a coach.
Isn't that his strength? He tells me that everyone on this roster has the physical talent, or he wouldn't put them on the baseball team. But the difference is the guys that can be mentally focused and tough.
Yeah, absolutely. You see that time and time again with some freshmen and some new guys that come in here. They all have the talent, like you said, and like Coach Oz always says, but the mental aspect is really what takes people going from being good to being great, and that's kind of what he preaches and that's what he believes, and it's 100% true, and we've seen it over and over again here at this program. Guys that maybe might not have the best stuff, or maybe might not be as talented as the next guy, but their mental strength is so much sharper than the hitter they're facing or their counterparts, that they're able to be successful, and I think that's what it takes at this level.
You really helped the team get some important midweek wins. Now you're back in the weekend rotation, pitched Saturday this last week. Here we are down the stretch, three series left in postseason. How are you feeling, and how happy are you to be back on the weekend rotation?
Yeah, I told forget who I told at the beginning of the year, but I was just happy to be back just playing baseball, whatever that role was, whether that was the bullpen, midweek, weekend. I think I've done a little bit of everything so far this year. And yeah, being in the weekend's nice. That's being one of the guys that they go to. But I just want to help the team win whatever way I can. It's nice to have the routine that a starter does. But yeah, I'm feeling great. Like I said, ready to knock these last three conference series out and get to the postseason and hopefully make another run.
Sean, Kelly and I, because of this show, are very fortunate. We get access to these kids a lot, and so we're around them, and we have a real appreciation for them. The average fan, maybe not quite to that degree. I know you have access to them, and you're just as impressed with the character as we are.
Absolutely. You know, I'm listening to Matt there, and, you know, if you could buy stock in a person, I would tell you to take everything in, out of your accounts and liquidate them and put them in him, because he's going to be successful in anything he does. And that's really our entire team. They're just great young men. But great young men come from, you know, great parents and great leadership. And if you look at this program and Christian Ostrander, Scott Berry, Corky Palmer, who I was not fortunate enough to know just because of my time here, Hill Denson, who's a great friend, and then, of course, Pete Taylor, you're talking about an elite group of leaders who are outstanding people and who still put that first. And that's hard to do in this day and age, but they do. Right. They won't take kids that aren't the kind of young men that they want to represent this university that they feel blessed to be the leader of in terms of the baseball program. So it starts with great leadership and then the support of the community that makes those kind of young men want to come here and want to mm-hmm. stay here, as we mm-hmm. talked about during
right.
the break.
Right.
And then, you know, I'm a small town Missouri guy who's lived in small town Arkansas, and now I'm in Hattiesburg. So, you know, I've had Southern Miss grit my whole life. It's just been in a different right. way. I was born in the dugout, not on third base in this right, business. Right, and so right. yeah, seeing it and listening to a guy like him talk about how hard it is to go through what he went through, but still, you know what I'm thinking? Give him the ball. I don't care when it is. I don't care where it is. Give him the damn ball and let's go.
But, you know, for years, Sean, there's always this argument between the academic side of colleges and universities and the athletic side. And the academians are always saying, we put way too much emphasis on sports. And I get that argument. But when you look at what's involved in sports, it develops discipline. It develops cooperation. It develops self-worth. There are so no many question. Things that go along with sports that contribute to these athletes being good human beings.
Well, you know, what we do, certainly, you know, we work in the toy store of life when you work in college sports. But, you know, the reason that I got into this was because I enjoyed the relationships and seeing young people become adults and learn how to deal with failure and learn how to deal with adversity and learn how to deal with success, all of those things, and watch them grow. And I always told people when I was an AD, I really wasn't close with them when they were freshmen, but when they were seniors and they proved that they could make it and that they could be tough and they could sacrifice, they were part of my family, and I would do anything for them. Right. And you see that these young men in this program are elite baseball players, but they're also elite people, which is why I think the community and all of us adore it so much.
What surprised you the most about the baseball program once you got here and got around
it? You know, I knew about it, of course, because I followed it for a long time. I've known Jeremy for a long time. My wife and I love college baseball, and so I'd watch Southern Miss in the regionals, you know, on ESPN Plus or on TV, whatever. And I've always thought the world of Scott Berry because he's a Missourian like me,
right.
And he's a Southwest Missouri guy. I'm a Central Missouri guy, and so I've always had great respect for Coach Berry. And then when I got here, I think just the connectivity between the fan base and the program and the mutual love and appreciation between the two,
right.
That's rare. I think that our fan base loves this program so much that they consider these young men as part of their families, which, in other words, I'm going to be mad at you I'm going to scold you when you don't do right. But I love you, and I'll always do whatever I can do to help you. And that's the feeling I get in Pete Taylor Park, and that's really rare.
And you're ours, so nobody outside of us can criticize you.
100%. You nailed it.
I got to tell you guys, those kids told me last night that they were shocked at how many fans there were in North Carolina and how vocal they were. They said that our fans were louder than the fans of the home team.
I heard it. I was watching, and I heard some Southern Miss chants, and I don't think they were used to that at App State, you know.
And see, being adopted, so to speak, as a family member like these baseball players are to the fans, fans would love to do that with basketball players and football players. But with this new horizon that we're on, you can't, because they come and go. Yeah. It's a revolving door.
It is. It's a little bit different, that's for sure. I think there will always be, football and basketball players that will stay. for a variety of reasons. A great example is Denaje. Denaje left, but Denaje came back, and I could feel that there was a warm sense with our fan base and Denaje and some of the other guys. Even basketball, you know, coming down to the floor after the game and hanging out. And I never thought one of my roles, you know, would be to make sure I got the guys away, win or lose, by the way, from our fans to get them up to the locker room for the coaches talk. But again, that's part of it, and I'm anxious, looking forward to seeing that in football as well as we enter this new era.
Bob, I don't know how much time we have left before break, but none. There's the music. Yeah, okay. I wanted to ask him about women's golf and playing in the regional.
Super Talk Eagle Hour rolls along. Stay with us, everybody.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans. TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back to the show. DBAT sponsors this final segment of our program. DBAT on Hardy Street, state-of-the-art baseball softball training for people of every age, actually, and a former great Golden Eagle, Luke Reynolds, is the GM down there. So if you ever watched him play, you know he'd teach you plenty about playing baseball. Luke Reynolds, DBAT, great facility. We're really lucky to have such a fine facility here in Hattiesburg. We're also lucky to have Sean Jones with us today, the Senior Deputy Athletics Director. Sean, I told you off air, and you're a former radio guy, so you understand this. Great interviews go by really fast. Bad interviews go by really slow. This hour has gone by very fast, but we're grateful to you for spending the entire hour with us.
Well, I appreciate the time. Appreciate what y'all do to cover Southern Miss Athletics. I told you I enjoy getting it home in the evening and turning it on via the podcast.
Thank
you. And listening. And
thank you.
I learn things too. You know, I told somebody the other day, I don't call Oz after every series and break down every moment of it, because he's got a job to do and so do I. So I can instead just flip on the podcast and learn some of the inside stuff myself.
But the new superheroes on campus, the women's golf team, The Sun Belt champions,
that's right,
who Colton Cowan in his first year as head coach, you brought him down from Henderson State. So you're getting ready to go with the women on the regional. That has to be so cool for these young ladies.
It's cool. I'm so happy for them. We are so happy for them, first and foremost. They have a 3.87 cumulative grade point average as a program. So it's like, who got the B? All right, girls, tell me who got the B.
They're benched, right?
And I'm talking incredible majors and just we're talking about baseball, an outstanding group of young women that represent us so well. Thrilled for Colton. He was my golf coach at Henderson State. I hired him there. He was the men's and women's coach. He won he was with me for 3 years. He won 6 conference titles. Do the math. Men, women, men, women, men, women. So when we had the opening and Lucy left us, Lucy Burke, who was phenomenal, I went into Jeremy. I said, I got our guy. And I told him about Colton, and he said, go get him. And so, Colton and his wife came down here, got to visit the community, fell in love with Hattiesburg, as my family did when Jeremy brought us down, and got to meet Jeremy and everybody else on our team. And we got him here, and I did not expect him to win it in year one. I'm not going to lie to you. I thought it might be a year or two, but But super excited for him. I'm excited to go to Norman and stay out of their way and maybe, you know, clean their clubs for them at night, whatever they need from me to help them.
But with them winning this, plus the new golf facility that's open, things are certainly on the up and up for the women and men's team.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, Eddie Brescher, the men's coach, deserves some credit in this too because, you know, he has raised money for the Gittes Golf Center. He's raised money for the program. He's developed relationships. He has a great program himself, but he's been inclusive, just like I think people expect Southern Miss to be. He doesn't see them as another program. He sees them as part of his program. And so when we won it that night, the very first thing I did was go to Eddie and I said, you are a big part of this. And he is. And so he's been great. The facility's been great. Hattiesburg Country Club, of course. This is a wonderful golf community. And so it's been fun to bring that championship. And you know, one thing I learned, guys, and I know you know this, is Southern Miss loves to win championships in any sport we compete in. And that was reaffirming for me. I got to take them through the roost the other day. Now, normally as an administrator, going through the roost would be, you know, a hazard.
Yeah, correct.
All great people, you know, right. Having fun. But I got to take them through there and you know, just that group, the roost, unbelievable people. And they're giving them high fives and food.
Now, you did take them on a day the baseball team was playing really well. And winning,
I waited to take them out there till we took the lead. We hit a home run, and I said, ladies, let's go through the roost.
That's why he's the number two AD on this. He's smart. Can you see that, people? He's smart.
Hey, my final question before you get out of here, Sean. You and Jeremy probably spend more time with new coach Charles Huff than anybody else on campus. The impression that people seem to have of him is that he's this iron-fisted taskmaster. But you say that he's not all that. What's he like?
He's got a great sense of humor. We have a lot of fun. But he is everything we needed in our program. He and his staff are in that office at 5 o'clock every morning. They don't leave till 10 or 11 every night. They don't complain. It's part of it. It's what they signed up for. There's discipline, accountability, an unbelievably grueling strength program. Ben Ashford, our strength coach, is phenomenal. Just put our guys through the same fourth quarter program that Alabama runs. Charles is one of the best recruiters in the world. That's why he was Nick Saban's right-hand guy at Alabama during championship seasons and James Franklin's at Penn State, etc. Charles Huff is one of the most driven, hardworking people I've ever met or heard of in my life, and that is everything we needed in this program. So when you're flipping a roster, when you have, you know, 84 players that were on the team the year before that are no longer on the team, and you're having to completely flip a staff from student assistant to head coach – from all of your team, it just takes an incredible amount of work. So Charles is very understanding. He says it all the time, like, hey, I want to get out in the community more. I want to see people more. I want to be more open. There's right now I'm trying to get this thing fixed so we have a fun fall. And so I think that's the objective at this moment. But, yeah, great to work with. We get after it. We work really hard. He's demanding in an appropriate way to elevate this program back to where it needs to be.
Sean, it was a great pleasure having you here. Will you come back?
Absolutely, guys. I enjoyed the heck out of it. Appreciate you having me.
This guy, we're not going to let him too close to the microphone, though. He's too smooth.
He's got the word deputy in his title. Does that mean he's like Barney Fife?
That's exactly right.
He's too good.
Problem solver, save a dollar, make a dollar, Swiss Army knife, get it done, guy. That's really the title right there.
Sean, thank you very much.
Thank you, guys. Bob, Kelly, appreciate it.
Sean Jones, Senior Deputy Athletics Director and Chief Operating Officer for Southern Miss Athletics. Great pleasure having him on the Eagle Hour. Back tomorrow at 1 o'clock from Fuzzy's Tacos. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
To the top.
Like an eagle to the sea.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
A Supertalk Mississippi Media Production.